Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, friends? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is officially preseason game one, Packers-Browns. Could not be more excited about this. I know it's preseason, but I still get into these every single year. There's a lot of really fun just sort of matchups to watch. I think there's a lot of really fun roster battles that are worth keeping an eye on. We're going to get a glimpse at some of these rookie players that have been doing really well in camp, and can they continue it in a game atmosphere? I'm excited for all of it. In just a moment, I'm going to be talking to special guest Dennis Krause, who is kind enough to join me to preview Packers and Browns. So we will get to that in just a moment. Before we get there, though, I showed you the other day the fresh dough. This one, though, personal favorite, the Luigi's Frozen Pepperoni Pizza Ultra Thin Crust. Like I said, personal favorite. The best. So I'm actually pretty easy going with pizza toppings. We could have the pineapple discussion on another day. I don't know of any frozen pizzas that are doing pineapple on it, though. But still, we can have that discussion for another day. But love pepperonis, mushrooms, onions, extra cheese, sausage. There's a variety of directions we could go in. But there's a reason I usually get the pepperoni. They have the best tasting pepperonis to me of any pizza. Fresh pizza, frozen pizza, homemade pizza. They have delicious pepperoni. So I usually go for the pepperonis. My kids love the pepperonis as well. I would be probably embarrassed to tell you how many of these I have eaten in my lifetime. Also just want to quickly, this was from Witty and Wise on Twitter, technically at Witty and Wise too. Quote, oh my goodness, had my first ever, he's talking about Luigi's Pizza, found it at my Appleton Woodman's, shared it with another friend, and I cannot tell you how much we enjoyed it. Have three more in the freezer. I've got a lot of those lately of people who have had it, not known about Luigi's frozen pizzas, and now have been trying them and are absolutely loving them. You guys know I am a pizza connoisseur. I am not going to lead you in the wrong direction with pizza. We can have a food take conversation on another day. I'm not going to lead you in the wrong direction on pizza, I promise you. But today, our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in Packers Browns, Sean Clifford. And some of you might just say, you know what? It's backup quarterback. And if you get to backup quarterback, I just don't care. I get it. I understand. But there's a very easy argument to be made that Sean Clifford has the most at risk and the most to gain from a performance against the Browns. I mean, he's the number two quarterback. It does not seem like Michael Pratt is really in that conversation right now. Does not seem like he's ready to be in that conversation. Despite him actually having some nice practices, some nice throws. It seems more of like a learning the playbook sort of thing. This is his number two job. With a strong preseason performance, he's just the guy. He's just the number two guy. He will be the backup going into the year. If he has a really bad performance, now we're starting to talk about, all right, do we need to try to elevate Michael Pratt into that discussion? Or is there a quarterback from another team around the league, which there will be backup quarterbacks moved prior to cutdown day via trades, would be my guess. There's a few that we'll talk about in today's show with Dennis, but he could potentially lose that job, and Green Bay might have to go quarterback shopping for a different potential backup quarterback if he doesn't play well. So the player I'm going to be most keeping an eye on is Sean Clifford. I'm hoping he plays really well. He has really calmed down in practice as of late. Those first week and a half, you could just, I don't know if he was trying to do too much or just the pressure of the defense, which was very evident early on, gave him a lot of problems. Whatever it might be, it was not going great for Clifford. I do feel like he has slowed down a little bit in a good way, meaning like it's just a little bit more calm and a little bit more functional, and hopefully can carry that into the preseason game against the Browns and go out and have a really nice performance. And for anyone who's hoping for a Packers win against the Browns, you're going to need probably a really strong performance from Sean Clifford as the main quarterback in this game. Love likely to start, Pratt likely to see a little bit of time, but my guess is we get a solid two and a half quarters of Sean Clifford against Cleveland. All right, without any further ado, my interview with Dennis Krause and our preview of Packers Browns. Enjoy. I am joined now by Dennis Krause. You can find him over on Spectrum News One Wisconsin as a sports reporter and host. He is also the pregame host for the Green Bay Packers on the Packers Radio Network. You can find him on Twitter at Dennis Krause One. Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm so excited to talk to you about Packers-Browns, the first preseason game of the year.
Great to be with you, Andy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We have a lot to talk about. I want to actually start, though, before we get to Packers-Browns. I want to start talking, you know, just kind of training camp and your observations in general. There's been a lot of takeaways. Obviously, the Jordan Love contract dominated kind of that first week, second week, a lot of talk about Jeff Hafley's defense, which we'll get into in just a moment. But what have been some of your kind of takeaways from this training camp so far?
I think, and I know that you've been there every day, I think the energy of it, you can tell with these guys that they feel like they're on the cusp of something big. And just the way they handle themselves at training camp, and everything has a purpose and it's moving very briskly. This is not a team that expects to go, 4-13. Nope. They expect to win.
Yeah, they do. And that's the very first thing. And obviously we didn't compare notes ahead of time. The very first thing I had on my list was the competitiveness of camp, especially once Jordan got back. That first week was pretty defensive oriented. But after that, once Jordan was there, you can tell like these are very competitive team periods. The offense is winning some reps in some periods. The defense is winning some reps in some periods. But these guys are going at it. There's a ton of energy. The defense is constantly communicating. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. I think just a couple other things. I've really been impressed with the improvement of Jordan Love's deep ball so far. I think that looks a whole heck of a lot better. And then just the addition of Xavier McKinney. It's been talked about a lot, just what he was going to be able to bring to the team. But Dennis, we've been around teams in the past that you bring in a potential big free agent signing, and they maybe don't have the impact that you expect them to. I think back to Joe Johnson back in the day as one of those, but Xavier McKinney so far has come in as advertised. He's had a few big interceptions, but just his communication, his mentorship of the young safeties, I think his presence has been massive for that new defense under Jeff Hafley. I think those are a couple of things as well that have really stood out in these first few weeks of practice.
You're right. I think when you look at McKinney, they overhauled the whole safety position, really. And what has impressed me the most is how he has come in from day one as a leader, which is not easy to do when you're joining a new team. And you can tell just by how he conducts himself out there. He's a professional and the others follow him. And I think, and I don't want to skip ahead to the Jeff Hafley situation, but there are several leaders emerging on that defensive side of the ball. And McKinney is certainly one of them.
Yeah, he really is. And I think it's such a huge important factor of that new defense and that energy, the intensity. We'll kind of transition over to that, because I think that's been the other thing that a lot of people have been watching is this new Jeff Hafley defense. He just had this awesome interaction with the corners that we posted yesterday. And it's all over Twitter as well, where he's just one-on-one coaching these corners, and it was super fun to watch. But this defense as a whole, they're energetic. They're flying around. The communication has been way better. They're attacking. Like, it's one thing, for a defensive coordinator to come in at his opening press conference and say, you know what, we're going to be an attacking, aggressive mentality. We're going to get upfield. Like, a lot of, new coaches are going to say a lot of those same things and those same buzzwords. But so far, and yes, it's 3 weeks of training camp. There's a long way to go. Nobody's winning any awards as of yet, but the defense has been as advertised.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that we should make clear, and I'm sure you have to your audience, is that in the preseason, starting Saturday at Cleveland, we're not going to see the full repertoire of a Jeff Hafley defense. They're going to, in fact, try to tone it down probably so that opponents in the regular season can't turn on the film and see what's going on. So don't freak out if tomorrow it doesn't look wonderful. It's going to get there. I think what's an adjustment for me is just the movement from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Guys that were outside linebackers are now edge rushers, and they have their hand in the ground. I'm talking about Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith in particular. The one thing I would say, and you look at last year, the Packers didn't have many interceptions. They had 7, ranked 31st in the league. Hafley stresses that. He's talked about getting turnovers, getting interceptions. That comes with a pass rush, certainly. But I would also say that you need to be a little bit careful. And Leroy Butler on the roundtable on Spectrum News One is always talking about this. If you're going for interceptions all the time, make sure you're not giving up big plays as a result of that. That's kind of the trade-off there. So I like everything about the Halfley defense. I can't wait to see it in the regular season. I don't know if we're going to see the full brunt of it in the preseason, but I just think we should all understand that if you're daring, that means sometimes you give up plays too.
I'm so glad you brought up both of those things. I want to start with your second point first, because it does feel like there is going to be a little bit more risk reward with this defense. One of the things I've been actually mostly impressed with this defense so far is, you know, you kind of know if you're going to be attacking, getting upfield, and you're going to be going towards the football and really making it sort of like you've got tunnel vision towards that, you can be susceptible to a lot of screens, draws, counters, reverses. I think to a T, almost every single screen, bubble screen, reverse, end around, counter, like any of it, like the defense has been all over every single one of those things in a really impressive way, where if you are playing this attacking brand of football, it can be so easy to lose sight of some of those things. And it's almost felt like there's been an extra defender on the field at times. But to your point, we have also seen, especially as of late, especially as Jordan got back into camp, some of these deep balls connect to Christian Watson. We've seen some to Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs. We are seeing a little bit more of that. I think, you know, Joe Barry's defense was set up to not give up those big plays. He was going to give up some of the underneath stuff. Jeff Halfley's is going to be a little bit more attacking, a little bit more aggressive and trying to take over the ball. And I think you will see a few more of those big plays. So if there were a perfect defense, every single team would be running that exact defense. There's going to be some negatives that come with the positives. But I think overall, they're doing their best to mitigate the risk while also trying their best to take over the ball. I'll let you comment on that just a second. The other thing I was just going to say really quick is the defense playing a more vanilla brand of football in preseason, not only do I not expect it to look like it's supposed to, I think they may actually end up in maybe some more disadvantageous situations where it wouldn't surprise me if Halfley just goes out in a lot of cover one, plays his base concept and says, hey, corners, I want to see what you guys can do on an island. I want to see what, you know, how much I can trust you guys in certain situations and not disguise a lot. Just be, you know, we're going to be single high, extra guy in the box, corners and man-to-man on the outside. Let's see what you got so he can test those guys out and know what he can trust, which could result in maybe some of those more big plays. And I wouldn't worry about it because I think he's just kind of seeing what he can get away with some of those guys in the preseason. What's up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you haven't started playing Prize Picks yet, you should probably sign up right now and you'll quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. There's never been a better time than right now to sign up. You can turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA continue to rack up the gold medals and dominate the competition in Paris. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, most importantly, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Victor Wembanyama and LeBron James as their respective teams look to advance to eventually have a chance to face each other in the finals. Should be a massively fun week of basketball action on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course, they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Yeah, and I don't want to come off as an apologist for Joe Barry, because that page has been turned, okay? Yep. He's no longer in Green Bay. He's the linebackers coach now in Miami. But I would say this, and you read stuff online too from other teams around the NFL. Anybody with a new defensive coordinator raves about them, how aggressive they are. They're going to let us play. We're going to do this and that. Okay, let's see what reality is. And that's not a knock at Jeff Hafley. I like Jeff Hafley. I think this is going to work. I'm just saying that a lot of teams around the NFL have changed defensive coordinators and are saying the same thing. It comes down to, and you know this, Andy, it comes down to the players.
Yeah.
We've talked to Eric Stokes, for example, who's one of the big keys in my mind to how good this defense is this year. And he says, we want to be known as a team that's defensive, not just offensive. So, I mean, they know what has happened the last several years. And whoever has been the defensive coordinator with the Packers, it's been a lightning rod. I mean, the last several have been fired. Let's be honest. They have been in the line of fire. Fans have second-guessed them. So I'm sure it's not going to be perfect with Jeff Hafley, but I'm certainly willing to give him a chance.
And I think history is a great teacher here. When Dom Capers was fired, everyone was so excited about Mike Pettine up until everyone called for Mike Pettine to be fired. And when Mike Pettine was fired, everyone was so excited for a new defensive coordinator up until the point where everyone was calling for Joe Barry to be fired. And the same thing, you know, everyone expected Rich Bisaccia to come in and just all of a sudden make this into a top 10, top 12 special teams unit. That has not happened overnight. So yes, we all get excited. Hope springs eternal this time of year, but we also need to be cautious and optimistic is good, but you know, these things sometimes take time to figure out.
Yeah, I think you're right in everything you said there. And I would just say this. I hope the Packers have a great season, but I'm old. I've been around. Every season I've been here, fans think they're going to the Super Bowl. And it really doesn't work that way usually.
No, there's a process to it. That's for sure. I'm excited for the process. I'm excited for the new pieces, but there will be some ebbs and flows along the way that they're certainly going to have to navigate. You transitioned perfectly. You talked about Eric Stokes. I know you wrote about him as well. I think his return has been, you know, something that's been really interesting for this defense. I know I went in to sort of OTAs, mini camps, training camps, expecting this to be Carrington Valentine versus Eric Stokes and these guys going back and forth. Now, a Carrington Valentine hamstring injury has certainly made it so that that's not the case. But even prior to that, this was Eric Stokes starting opposite Jaire Alexander. There were really no signs that this was going to be a big time competition. He has taken that starting cornerback spot back. I think he's up to 4 interceptions in practice already, including one on Thursday where he had an interception of Jordan Love in red zone activities. So he has looked confident. He's looked fast as he ever has. That was another question I had coming in is with all those leg injuries, was he still going to be 4.3 40 fast? He's sticking with Christian Watson down the field on some of these deep routes. This is a pretty big development for Green Bay if he can get back anywhere near the form that he was playing like as a rookie coming out.
And I don't think it's being over dramatic to say that Stokes is at a crossroads of his career. It was no coincidence the Packers didn't pick up the option on his rookie contract because he's been injury plagued. He's got to be on the field. So if he's healthy and productive, then this defense will be much, much better because, I mean, he was a first-round draft pick for a reason. And the Packers have given him every opportunity he still has this year. He can make himself a lot of money if he has a big year.
Yeah, he can. And I think he's another one of these players. You kind of mentioned it earlier on the defensive line, how some of these guys are going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, making this transition. And we're going to be able to see how those guys do. I think some of these corners too, I think Ja, I think Valentine, I think Stokes, I think a lot of these guys do like playing a little bit more man coverage. I think they do like playing a little bit up closer to the line of scrimmage. I think this scheme, hopefully, fingers crossed, fits them a little bit better. But now the onus, like you so perfectly said earlier, is on the players where they need to go out and execute. They wanted to play more physical. They wanted to play more aggressive. They wanted to play more man-to-man coverage. It seems like now they're going to get this opportunity. I think it does suit them better, but now it's up to them to go out and perform on the field and show what they're capable of doing.
One of the things that has struck me, and I'm sure you as well, this training camp is that Jaire Alexander seems like a different person.
Big time.
I mean, last year, the turmoil, the coin flip in Carolina, the suspension, I mean, it was not a great vibe. Well, he is all bought in on Jeff Hafley. And you talked about, correctly so, that Hafley's background is coaching a secondary. And I think Matt LaFleur must have, in the hiring process, said, we need to get in touch with Jaire and we need to bring out the best in him. Because whether we like it or not, there are players in that locker room that follow Jair Alexander. And there's a reason the Packers made him the highest paid corner in the NFL. So does your scheme, Jeff Hafley, fit what he can do? And I think it does. And I think we're going to see a big year from Alexander.
So happy you brought that up as well. It's been, I think, one of the bigger, I don't want to say revelations, but just the best, one of the best things of camp so far, because I thought I was rather critical of Jair last year, some of the run defense stuff. And of course he's got the coin flip situation, gets suspended for a game. I thought, first of all, the way that he handled that suspension, because a lot of the stars in this league, they get suspended for, like, you would have seen other players, I think, check out the rest of the year or say, trade me in the off season. It seemed like the message got through and he legitimately wanted to be better and improve and be that kind of leader for this defense. And then, you let an off season go by and you're wondering, like, all right, now what kind of Jair are we going to see? He has been locked in. He has been focused. He has been vocal in all the best ways out on the field. We are seeing that version of Jair that they did make the highest paid corner. And again, the games will go a long way in defining that, but you're looking for key indicators in practice and what you can take away from it. And what I've taken away is he is locked in. And like I said, I think this is one of the best versions of Jair in practice that I've ever seen.
One of the things too, is that because of the contract and the way it was structured, the Packers were kind of married to him. Yeah. So it benefited everybody for this to work out instead of just trading him and cut your losses and send him somewhere else. So I think the fact that he has responded well, I don't know what happened to him internally or who talked to him, doesn't really matter. All that matters is how he's playing and how he's acting. And this camp, as you indicate, he has been right on task.
Big time. And the thing that you brought up as well, about finding maybe a defensive coordinator, a defensive backs coach that can unlock that, when Aaron was starting to like Aaron so perfectly put to Aaron Rodgers, of course, his down years are still most quarterbacks' best years. And he's absolutely right. But when they fired Mike and they brought in a new head coach, Mark Murphy made no qualms about it. He's like, we wanted to find somebody that we think could get Aaron playing back at that MVP level, because they, of course, too, with a huge contract and franchise quarterback, they were married to Aaron at that point, and they wanted to find somebody who could unlock him again and get him back playing at that MVP level. And it worked out pretty well. He got two more MVPs after Matt LaFleur came in. I think, to your point, I think finding the right defensive scheme and the right coaches that can unlock not only Jair, but hopefully Rashawn Gary, Quay Walker is a first round pick, Devontae Wyatt is a first round pick. And like, there is so much that they have invested into this defense. I think they are hoping that this defense unlocks a lot of those guys and gets them playing at that level.
Absolutely. And I think now is probably a good time to say too, that, Matt LaFleur deserves some credit, because I think the success he had early in his tenure, people say, he's got Aaron Rodgers, got this and that. Well, he went through a quarterback transition, and we saw some rough moments early in the season, no question. But not only did he get the MVP years out of Rodgers that you mentioned, but he has flawlessly, it appears, executed this transition at quarterback from Rodgers to Love, which is not easy to do. A lot of teams have failed at that. So you have to give Matt LaFleur credit for that. And also, we were just talking about Jair Alexander. A lot of teams late last season when he was suspended would have split. That would have really hurt the dynamic in the locker room. And somehow, some way, LaFleur kept it together. They went to Minnesota and played a terrific game and beat the Vikings.
Yeah, it's really well said. I think Matt's done a tremendous job with this team, and he deserves a lot of credit. I think he's finally starting to get some of it. Of course, we all know coaches are judged on Super Bowl wins and so many of those sort of things, but what he's done with this young team already has been really, really impressive. Let's transition to Packers-Browns preseason game number one. The first thing I want to ask you about, Jordan Love seems set to play. He did have a maybe slight injury scare at the end of last practice. It didn't seem like anything major. But outside of that, assuming everything's all good, he is set to play a little bit in this game. I'll just ask you right out. Is that, in your opinion, the right decision? And are you happy or disappointed that maybe that these starters are playing in this game?
I think it is the right decision, because I don't know how else to say it. Jordan Love's not Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't been in the league 16, 17 years. There are still things he needs to learn. Now, if he gets hurt, we're all going to feel awful because of the money they have invested in him. And, quite honestly, behind him, what do you have at this point that's a proven commodity? So he has to stay healthy. But, you look at this Cleveland game, Andy. I mean, he's not going to be going against Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith. I mean, Cleveland's resting a lot of people because of injuries or whatever in this game. So I think there was good communication between Matt LaFleur and Kevin Stefanski as to the two head coaches. What's this game going to be? Right. And I think ideally, you know, his plan, Matt LaFleur, would be to have Love be in there for one series. They drive down there. They score a touchdown. He stays healthy. Everybody stays healthy, and everybody feels great about it, whatever the end result of the game is. That's what he hopes happens on Saturday with Jordan Love.
Yeah, I've been pretty consistent on this for a while now. I think you're, as a coach, there's not a right answer here. I think if you don't play your players in preseason and you go out and lay an egg early in the year, you're going to be criticized for it. And if you go out and play some starters early in a game and you have a Jordy Nelson situation where somebody tears an ACL, you're going to get criticized for it. You just basically have to go with what your gut says and hope for the best case scenario that either nobody gets hurt or that you start the season strong one way or the other. But I trust the coach to have their thumb on the pulse of the team and know what their team is needing best. And I stick with that decision, whatever it is. And I'll also say this too. If the Chiefs feel like Patrick Mahomes and their offense needs to play week one in the preseason, I'm pretty good with any other team being like, all right, well, if the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes need to play in week one in preseason and can play week one in preseason, everyone else should probably feel pretty comfortable that they can put their guys out there as well. So, and they're going to be cautious with it. My guess is probably a lot of 3, maybe 5-step drops, not a lot of big 7-step drop and plays where you need to buy a ton of time, ball quick out of Jordan's hands, maybe some screens, a lot of handoffs, hopefully get that running game going. I think they'll be very cautious with it as well.
Yeah, I think you've identified a lot of things there that are accurate. And I go back to the season opener a few years ago against the Saints in Jacksonville, where the Packers were just trounced. Yep. And I think that resonated with Matt LaFleur, who always talks about, you know, self-study and self-scouting. And I'm sure he looked at that and said, you know, we didn't have our guys ready to play in week one of the regular season. What do we need to change? And I think one of the things he's changed is he's going to play his regulars more in the preseason, at least give them the taste of what a game day is like. It's different when you know you're not going to play. Whereas if you are out there, you're starting, you're going to be out there for a drive. It's just a different feeling. And I think he wants his young team, Jordan Love included, to feel that on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's really well said. Before we get into both of our three things that we're going to be watching for, just a really quick update for everyone on the potential injury report heading into Saturday's game. These are the players that did not practice on Thursday: Tyron Hopper, Dimitri Stanley, Carrington Valentine, Deslin Alexander, Keyshawn Banks, Edrian Cooper, Donovan Jennings, and Jordan Morgan. Would not expect any of those 8 players to play on Saturday unless something dramatically changes. And then also Zach Tom, not expected to play in team. Tucker Kraft, another player who's only an individual drills right now, would not expect him to play in team. There could be a smattering of other players based on some nicks and bruises. Jaden Reed just got back. We'll see if he plays. Josh Jacobs has been a little bit banged up. My guess is he probably doesn't play. But you know, we don't have to comment too much more on this, Dennis, but anything else before we get to our three things from an injury standpoint?
Well, I think you said there something very important about if Josh Jacobs doesn't play. I think we're all, because he's such a great interview and a great person, everybody thinks that A.J. Dillon is a cinch to make the roster. And I'm not sure he is. You know, they drafted Marshawn Lloyd very high out of USC. They like Emmanuel Wilson and some of the things he does. So I think that if Jacobs doesn't play on Saturday, and you're probably right, he won't, then these other guys will be in the spotlight. How do they do, and how do the number 2 and 3 running back positions shake out?
Yeah, I'm really interested in this as well. I went into camp feeling 1,000,000% that same way, specifically because we know Josh Jacobs is going to make the roster. We know Marshawn Lloyd's going to make the roster. 2 of those 3 running back spots are set on the team. They're not going anywhere. And then the third one, you know, what I always look at when there's a sort of quote unquote surprise cut or maybe a veteran that doesn't make the team, it's always due to the money that they make, their age, and or their years of team control. And you look at somebody like Emmanuel Wilson versus A.J. Dillon. Wilson is younger. He has more years of team control, and he makes less money than A.J. Dillon. So if Wilson gets that just even within a sliver of A.J. Dillon and they like his upside, then they're going to say, well, we like, you know, it's close enough where we want the younger, cheaper guy who can be on the team longer. I will say, though, I think Dillon has had a fantastic camp. That doesn't necessarily mean it translates over into games, which, to your point, I think is why this is still a big game for A.J. Dillon. He's in phenomenal shape. He looks like he has more burst and wiggle than he's ever had in his career. And the other day on Wednesday, Rashawn Gary comes in on a twist inside and comes one-on-one, and A.J. Dillon's sitting there with blitz pickup. And it's one thing if it's like a middle linebacker or maybe a safety that's coming on a blitz, but this is Rashawn Gary, and Dillon just sits down, anchors, and it's a collision, and Dillon stands him up, and it doesn't get close to Jordan, and Jordan's able to deliver the ball outside. So I think some of those intangibles are going to be really important. I would still lean towards A.J. at this point, but I do, to your point, believe that these are still very important games for these running backs.
I think when Adam Stanovich, the offensive coordinator, met with the media, and you know, a lot of times you just sift through the sound bites and say, well, you know, he really didn't say much. But one thing he did say that I found very interesting was that he views Jacobs Dillon as a good 1-2 punch. Well, you know, did he let the cat out of the bag there as far as, you know, A.J. Dillon's going to make this team and going to be an important member of it in November, December in particular, when his hard running style pays off in the cold weather. To me, I took that as very revealing that they still believe in A.J. Dillon.
I think that's true. But I still think these games are important. I'm really we'll get to one of these guys in just a moment, because they have one of them is on my three things to watch. But I'll kick it over to you. I know you wrote about this as well. But what are the three things that you are watching for in Packers Browns?
Well, I wrote about Jeff Hafley's defense, which we talked about won't be in full flower. I do think the kicking battle is interesting. And I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that they want Anders Carlson to end up as the kicker. They spent a draft pick on him. But the reality is he missed, what, a dozen kicks last year between field goals and extra points. So they have competition. Greg Joseph, the former Viking, Alex Hale, who they brought in this week from Oklahoma State. Will Hale kick it all on Saturday? I think they want Carlson to win the job. But, Andy, if he goes 1-for-8 on field goals in the preseason games, I'm exaggerating there. I don't think he'll get 8 tries, but they can't keep him if he does that. So, and that's not to say that their kicker is on the roster right now, because what they might do is pick up somebody that's cut loose in the final cuts by somebody else. But I do think the kicking situation is worth watching. And also, we talked a little bit about the quarterbacks behind Jordan Love. Sean Clifford, who's thrown a lot of interceptions in camp, as you know, and Michael Pratt, the 7th-round pick out of Tulane. Or do they have to pick up a veteran once other teams make their decisions? One thing I didn't write about this time, but I wrote going into training camp, is now we start to see these new kickoff rules in games. And I think that's going to be fascinating, because as we've watched in practice, it is a whole new world out there. And I think we're all going to need to adjust to it.
Just to your points on a couple of those, you know, maybe potential roster transactions. Preseason obviously kicked off outside of the Hall of Fame game last night on Thursday night. And, there was a couple things I was watching. One, so the Panthers have two kickers. I've been talking about this guy a little bit before, but one of their guys is an undrafted free agent. He's a bigger guy. They call him the thicker kicker. His name is Harrison Mavis. Eddie Pinero is their primary kicker. He's been phenomenal in camp, but Mavis has looked pretty good. He got one kick last night. It was a 41-yarder, and he made his lone field goal. So maybe if Green Bay doesn't like their kickers in camp, maybe they could look for one of these other teams that have two kickers in camp, and maybe Eddie Pinero or Harrison Mavis and Carolina could be an option there. And then the other guy I was watching a little bit last night too was for New England, and that was Bailey Zappe. The Patriots, of course, get Drake May in the first round. They go out and get Jacoby Brissett to be kind of their transitional starter. And then they go and get Milton later in the draft as well, who had a pretty nice night last night. You doubt they're going to keep four quarterbacks. And if they've got two rookies and a starter being the other three, well, it's probably not going to be one of those three guys that gets cut. Whether they cut, somebody like Zappe, or whether they maybe trade him for a conditional 7th-round pick or something, we'll have to remain to be seen. But if Clifford and Pratt go out and show that they're not capable of running this offense to the extent that's needed to be a legitimate backup, maybe somebody like a Bailey Zappe in New England or a Taylor Heinicke in Atlanta, where they have Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, who they drafted in the first round, maybe one of those names is a little bit of interest. And that's why it's kind of always fun to watch these preseason games to see who might be out there.
I think we have a tendency to downplay the importance of a backup quarterback.
Big time.
Only 9 quarterbacks last year, less than a third of the league, were able to start every game. The Packers were blessed. They were lucky that Jordan Love was able to do that. Certainly you hope that he's able to do that again this year. But if he isn't able to do that, do you have a number 2 quarterback that can win you a game, or at least not lose the game? And, you know, Sean Clifford, I thought what was revealing was when Love was not practicing because of they were hammering out the contract extension, I wouldn't say Sean Clifford exactly comforted the Packers coaching staff with the way he played. They might have got a glimpse and said, we don't know if he's ready. Can he help us win a game if he has to?
Yeah, it's going to be a big preseason for Sean Clifford and to some extent, I think Michael Pratt as well. Really quickly, my three things I'm going to be watching in this one, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams, they have been really, really fun in training camp so far. Would expect both of those guys to get a decent amount of playing time in the preseason, starting with the Browns game this week. What does it look like in game action? It's one thing to do it in practice. Can you carry it over? Even though it's a preseason game, can you still carry that over into the game? I'm excited to watch those two. And then the backup offensive line, we kind of talked about it with kicker. We talked about it certainly with the backup quarterback position as well. But I think this offensive line kind of has six players right now. They've got their five starters, and I'm going to include Jordan Morgan at right guard in that. And I think they have Sean Ryan as a really nice depth piece behind him. And that's not a bad place to start. A lot of teams would, you know, like to have six players that they can feel pretty comfortable in. But, and then I think after that, they're really searching for answers. And whether that's Andre Dillard, Caleb Jones, Kadeem Telford, Jacob Monk, you know, any of these guys, Royce Newman, etc. I think this is like that seventh spot, like almost the rest of the offensive line that is on this roster, I think could slot anywhere from seventh to literally not making the team. And I think that, you know, spot 7, 8, 9, 10, very much up for grabs. And then again, you could end up either, you know, in a very important spot on that, on the depth on the offensive line, or again, not even on the roster at all. So I'm going to be watching a lot of these backup offensive linemen.
I think Saturday is huge for Sean Ryan. I mean, we tend to think, it's a preseason game, you know. And well, for these guys, it's their livelihood. And with Jordan Morgan out right now with the shoulder issue, Matt LaFleur says maybe a week, doesn't think it's long term. Well, okay, whatever it is, there is an advantage right now for Ryan to show what he can do. If he plays really well on Saturday, then it's going to be tough for the number one pick, first round pick, to dislodge him. If he doesn't play well, then that tilts Morgan's way.
Yeah, this is why this time of year is always so fun, because you always have these little battles that are really intriguing to watch. My last and third and final one, Marshawn Lloyd. I thought in OTAs and mini camps he looked fantastic. I thought he had the injury to start camp, and then I thought was a little bit slow out of the gate. I think we're starting to see some of that movement ability from him. He can be a dynamic player. I want to see what he can do in this preseason game.
Yeah, I agree with you about that. I think the concern about Lloyd is his fumbling history.
Yeah,
your speed is great. If you rip off a 45-yard run, it's fantastic. But if you fumble it at the end, all's lost. So he's got to hang on to the football. But I agree with you. He's fun to watch, and it'll be interesting to see how they use it.
Predictions are foolhardy in any time of year, but they're even more ridiculous come preseason time. You can go in any direction that you want with this, Dennis. Any prediction or anything you're going to be finally watching for in this game?
Well, as you appropriately put, a prediction in the preseason is very difficult. And if you gamble on a preseason game, you're a sick individual. You really, I mean, come on. Because you don't know which way it's going to go and who's going to play.
Yeah,
I would say this. I know we're not going to see the full Jeff Hafley defense, but I want to see enough of a taste of it to say, you know what? They're going to be pretty good defensively this year. I want to see, like you were just talking about, Marshawn Lloyd. I want to see him in the third quarter with a second or third string offensive line. What can he do? Can he generate a big play on his own and hang on to the football? So there are enough things to watch in a preseason game. I'm not necessarily going to put a score out there for you, but I do think there are things that Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff have on the checklist that they want to see accomplished in this game Saturday at Cleveland.
It's a Packers podcast, so we're picking the Packers over the Browns in a huge win and a massive preseason game in Cleveland. Dennis, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, and where can we find all of your work?
Well, you're welcome anytime. Spectrum News One, we do the roundtable during the season twice a week with former Packers Leroy Butler and Gary Ellerson, Monday and Thursday nights. And what I like about those guys, there's a unique chemistry with them. They've known each other for years. Gary played offense, if you don't know, in the 80s for the Packers when they weren't very good, when Forrest Gregg was there. Leroy played defense to a Hall of Fame level at safety in the 90s. So I think the blending of those two perspectives is interesting, and we look forward to working with them on Spectrum News One.
Not only that, but you do a phenomenal job of leading those guys. And it's a great conversation when you three guys get together every single time. It's must watch TV. Make sure to check him out. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Dennis Krause One as well. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. For Dennis and I, thank you so much for watching. Until next time. And as always, go Pack, go.